Epilogue. Knowing what needs changing and creating change are clearly two different things. These facts are not acts of God. They are our moral and political choices as Americans. We can change them. We have the money, the power, and the know-how. Why don't we? It is the habit of getting involved that brings change. The habit of non-involvement works against change. We the people need to become comfortable participating as active citizens and make an effort to bring change. Without effort, there is no change. Without change, our institutions will continue to exacerbate the problems and the results will continue to disappoint us. Children with simple troubles won't get stuck in a well-run child protection system. These systems need funding for training, and funding to assure workers are not overwhelmed with cases. Each of us can make our voices heard by enlightening our legislators. When children get stuck in child protection, they are there for a reason. Children's issues are beyond politics. Civil societies need protection for the weakest and most vulnerable among us. Children deserve a safe place in our society. Recognize and appreciate the many committed people who try so hard to make the lives of these children better. Millions of us are out there. It's up to us to organize, speak out, and push for change. Show support for teachers, social workers, judges, and administrators when you get the chance. Too many Americans live and work each day in a chaotic and negatively charged atmosphere that could be improved with better social policies. Schools, courts, and child protection systems need our attention and awareness. The rest will take care of itself. Terrible conditions endured by senior citizens in the late 1940s and early 1950s compelled citizens to call their senators, form the American Association of Retired Persons, and change laws that would secure changes that made a better life for senior citizens. The same things need to happen to secure change for abused and neglected children today. Seniors of 50 years ago could speak for themselves, and they did. To a large degree, they got their own results. Unlike the seniors, these children cannot speak for themselves. They can't tell anybody about the tragedy that is their life. Often, they don't know that the life they are living is toxic and abnormal. No book is given to a child at birth explaining abuse or where to go for help. Invisible children need us, and we must speak out for them. If the citizens of this nation don't speak for them, there will be no discussion besides the mean-spirited political rhetoric that exists today. Prisons, crime, failing schools, and poverty will become much less problematic as soon as a few enlightened citizens bring attention to what needs to be done. What's missing for abused children are those things the rest of us have in abundance and can well afford to give away: kindness, trust, and a humane approach to solving problems. We are not short of the economic resources to make these changes. We are short of will. Our political will has been to turn up the punishment until the situation improves. It hasn't worked. This book is a grassroots effort that needs a fire lit under it. Here's a match. When enough of us tell our friends, call our legislators, or make some small effort, we will draw attention to the steps that will change the lives of invisible children and their children. In a better world, courts will no longer condemn juveniles to the certain failure of the adult criminal justice system. It would recognize that abused children are not to blame for the pain and suffering that has been heaped upon them. No more executing of people who have committed crimes while they were juveniles. Some other mechanism will be found to deal with juveniles who have lived in putrid surroundings and become insane because of it. For 2 cents a day from each American, we can convince our legislators to vote to vaccinate all of our children until the age of 2. We will agree to spend the 14 cents per day to ensure the 9.2 million children who now have no health care coverage. Libraries and the Internet provide a growing wealth of studies and comparisons between communities, states, and nations. Don't let yourself be confused by political rhetoric. As a first world nation that has third world status in most of the areas that determine the quality for fully half of its citizens, we need to recognize the trends, speak out, and make some changes. Good people don't tolerate this kind of social injustice. There are many complex issues that need addressing within each of our social institutions. There are no quick fixes. We will need to think our way through each problem. It is a good thing to be confused at a higher level. It is a positive step to have the discussion about our options and what other states and nations are doing. Don't be paralyzed by the complexity or number of the issues that need attention. Instead, learn about one area of concern and make some tiny difference. Be or organize a Big Brother, Big Sister, Guardian Ad Litem, Salvation Army Family, United Way Program, or give money to some worthwhile child-friendly organization that passes your smell test. Some of us are better at rabble-rousing than others. Grassroots organizations can catch fire and bring about great changes in your own communities. The fires will spread. For instance, if you agree with the serious problems I raised about abused and neglected children's impact on the school system, then learn enough about it to be taken seriously by your friends and by all means at least one government official who needs to be educated. You will soon discover that you know more about children's issues than your friends or elected officials. Very few politicians have even a basic appreciation for the problems teachers are facing with abused and neglected children in their classrooms. Most teachers aren't aware of the number of abused and abandoned children in their classrooms, or the seriousness of the mental illnesses the children bring to school with them. Most teachers don't dwell on the fact that they did not become educators to provide services to neurotic and psychotic children. They just do their work. We as a community owe them a chance to succeed in their classrooms by supporting and fully funding education and the programs that will make educating troubled children possible. I would argue that saving money on education is ridiculous in a nation that needs educated people so badly and that spends as madly as it does on prisons, war, and military. Ours is the largest and most expensive military in the world. Ours is the largest prison population with the highest rate of incarceration in the industrialized world. In our schools, we rate 91st in staff-to-student ratio among all nations in the world. In my state, there are 4.5 offenders per staff member in the prisons, and 30 students per teacher in the schools, and growing in the wrong direction. Bringing attention to educational and mental health issues is an uphill battle. Mental health issues are complex and poorly understood by the general public and many professionals. Because the public ignores mental health issues, the media avoids it. Because the media does not report it, even the social workers, teachers, and school administrators who are close to it lack the understanding to explain its importance. Mental health issues need more public discussion to raise understanding and shake off the stigma that today keeps the subject minimized. Worse, educators have bought into the claims of politicians and the media that our problems stem from poor personal efforts, immigrants, and other political red herrings, instead of seeking to understand the complicated social and institutional failures that are responsible for the chaos in their classrooms. We need honest discussions and better stewardship to solve these problems. 20 years from now, current trends will have dragged our nation from its comfortable status to more third-world comparisons and more unbearable conditions for educators, social workers, citizens, and people forced to live within our nation's cities. Find programs that work and then use them. Identify and avoid programs and ideas that don't work. A huge social saving will be realized as our communities move in the right direction. It all sounds so simple. It takes a thoughtful and informed citizenry to make better decisions to bring about badly needed changes. Concerned citizens must make a stink about mental health issues, Ready 4K programs, Head Start, and other core policies required to address truly needy children and demand the support and financing to make them work. Social policies that produce repeated generations of damaged children whose lives are as tortured as their parents must be replaced with more thoughtful and effective policies that are motivated by a genuine concern for a better society. Misguided political leaders need to be identified and brought to task for their lack of understanding and poor stewardship. Through their artful use of language, politicians have led us to think we are voting for reasonable policies when in truth, we have been hoodwinked into supporting failed programs and terrible policies. we need to identify and stop the outdated politics that make life even more miserable for people among us who have always had the least and suffered the most. Other nations who don't have to carry a similar burden of poverty as the U.S. will be at a substantial economic advantage. The economic expense of providing support for a large portion of the able population places too great a marginal strain on the productive workforce. In this task, the child welfare system should play a major role. The child welfare system in modern market economies is responsible for ensuring opportunity for all children. When the child welfare system fails to protect children's economic futures, the long-term consequences for the nation are the burden of supporting a large welfare class, increased need for residual services for such problems as drug and alcohol abuse, delinquency, and teenage pregnancy. End quote. From author Duncan Lindsay, the book The Welfare of Children. Oxford University Press, 1994. We need to see far enough into the future to know that spending money on babies and children is a sound social investment. Reasonable people understand that on all levels, kindness and a desire to help people succeed brings better results and more happiness than denying people fundamental rights and the means to improve themselves. It is our collective and individual responsibility to protect and nurture the weakest and most vulnerable among us. Americans are a wealthy and good-natured people. We can well afford to reach out with good intentions and create a better world for those among us who need our help. Americans can create a better world because we have the resources to do it and ethics rooted in individual morality. A practical and optimistic people, we love life and know how to make change occur. Getting a grasp of the subject and making it our intention to create change is what is needed. We are complex beings with poorly understood social structures and institutions. Taken apart and viewed in pieces, interpreting the interrelatedness between our policies and policy outcomes will bring clarity to what needs to change. It will not be that difficult once public attention becomes focused on the right issues and becomes attentive to what the better answers are. The results we are experiencing within our communities are not deliberate. They are not an accident, but they are inevitable. The data and stories in this book are the acts of America's political will. When we want something to happen, we will make it happen. Policies are changed by one vote, one citizen at a time. Our system of participatory democracy is meant for this type of challenge. The key is that each citizen has some obligation to participate. Because much of the population will not participate, it is critical that those who can get involved do their part, or a little more. All rights to this audiobook are reserved by the author. Reproductions are allowed with the express permission of the author. Contact him at invisiblechildren.org.